Well, this morning I want to talk about on top of the world. That God wants you. He wants the church to be on top of the world. The word church means those that has been called, what? Called out. That's what the word church means, the call out one. So what has God called us out of? God has called us out of darkness into what? Into light. So that we can shine forth the light that is in us. So that we can manifest Christ that is in us. That the world around, when they see us, they will glorify our Father who is in heaven. God has called us out of what? Out of death to life. And we are privileged as God's children to live in the abundance life, in the fullness of life that He promised us. Not only when we get to heaven, but now on earth. That in the midst of trouble, in the midst of turmoil, we can still have this life, this blessed life that is able, you know, to overcome anything that comes before us. So God wants us to be on top of the world. When we are on top of the world, He wants us to stand tall. I think the church cannot be a silent voice. Say amen to that. I think too long we have been too nice. Sometimes we just have to stand up for our right. He just wants us to stand tall and stand high so that the world can see us, because we can make a difference in our world. I mean, look at COVID-19. Christians should survive better than the world. We should come out stronger and better than the world. He wants us to be different from the rest of the world because we are to become the light and the salt. We are to become the influencer. Not the world influence us, but we influence the world. We are become the mover, not the world move us. I mean, sometimes when we hear the things that are happening in the world, we get moved in our heart. Wonder the Bible says, let your heart not be what? Not be troubled. That we should be the mover and the shaker of the world. Jesus wants us to be on top of the world because He Himself has overcome the world. He not only overcome death, He overcome the world. This is what He said in John 17 verse 15. He said, just as I did not join the world's way. Say amen to that. Jesus said, I did not come to become like the world. I come to be different from the world. I did not join the way of the world. And so if you and I are called out by Him, we must be the same. He said, just as I did not join the world's way, I am not asking that you will take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. And I think this is a challenge because in the Western Christianity, we don't want to talk about the cross. We don't want to talk about the world. We don't want to talk about the evil one. They are all there. You know, if we do not talk about them, then we think Christianity becomes very weak. But when we talk about them and not recognize them, then we can see the power of God that has overcome them. So you say, just as I asked you not to take them out of the world, but you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world. Say amen to that. How many of you realize we let the world tell us who we are? The world seems to dictate how we feel, how we see, but it should not be. The Bible said that the world do not define us. How can the world define us when the world is in darkness and we are in the light? When they have no life and we have life. So don't let the world define you. Don't let the world put you into a box. You see, they are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Jesus did not let the world dictate what the Father calls Him to do. He came with a mission. He fulfilled His mission. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your words is consecrated truth. In the same way that you give me a mission in the world, I give them a what? I give them a mission. Folks, we are here with a mission. I hope you know what is your mission. Your mission is not to be few and, you know, and full. Your mission is the same mission that Jesus was sent into this world. That the world through him may be saved. That you and I, that the world may believe because of we, who are the light and the salt of this world. I'm consecrating myself for their sake, so that they will be true consecrated in the mission. We can make a difference in this world with our living faith, our blessed hope, and our generous love. How do we do that? How do we make a difference? Well, it is by this word called biblical values. We need, as Christians, to live with biblical values. Biblical value is what I believe the Bible says. And when we live with this biblical value, we must not be fearful. We must be bold. Bold to shine brightly and clearly, you know, that Jesus Christ lives in my heart. How many of you have Jesus living in your heart? We need to let people know Jesus Christ lives in my heart. And I'm not shy about it. I'm not shy about it. And not only that, He truly meant in my heart. Because I'm not going to allow whatsoever that is popular in this world. There is a prevailing world value. It has its own culture, its own heartbeat, its own drumbeat, its own music and tempo. And if we are not careful as Christians, sometimes we flow with the world. We should not write wrong. We should not flow with the world. This is what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. Do not become so adjust to your culture that you fix into it without even thinking. Is it possible? Is it possible that sometimes we don't think the way the Bible thinks, the way God wants us to think? We allow whatever that is happening and it squeezes us into it so easily. The Bible says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from inside out, really recognizing what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. What is God's purpose for us to be here? What is our mission to be here? Our mission to be here is to preach the gospel and to be transformed into the image of his son. Don't forget that. So don't allow the culture of this world to squeeze you that you become like the world. We are different and we must be different. Because if we look to the world, we will be disappointed. The system of this world is empty and broken. It cannot meet human needs. It cannot meet human's problem. Only Jesus Christ can. That's why only the Creator God knows us, form us, and He wants us to know him, so that his power can reign in our life and live through our life. I was looking at how the early apostle, you know, how they view the world in the Bible. They saw themselves not as permanent in this world. They saw themselves as stranger, pilgrim, and they are on the transit. They are on a journey. That's how they see themselves. I wonder, how do you see yourself? There is a subtle message out there that say we are here forever. We are not here forever. We are just passing by. And so this is what Paul say. This is how he see the world. He say in 1 Corinthians 7:31, those who use the thing of the world should not become attached to them. For this world, as we know it, will soon pass away. Well, that's quite a challenge. I love driving cars. But I know one day I can't drive car when I'm too old. I cannot be attached to it. You know, it's so easy for us to allow things become so centered in our life. And then he said, this is what Peter, Apostle Peter said, having escaped the corruption, pollution, wickedness of this world. That's how he sees the world we are living in. Corrupted, polluted, wicked. You know, he said that we have escaped from all these things. James said this, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Wow, that's quite a strong word. How about John, the beloved? He said this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 17. Do not love this world, none the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you a craving. Say the word craving. The world is always giving you a craving. And we have to check our craving. Is that craving, is that desire godly? Is the desire biblical? Is the desire from God? Or is it just the world and its attractiveness pulling me? For the world offers you a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievement and possession. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away. How do you like that? The world is fading away. Along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God lives forever. Lives forever. So, we have a world value. We have a world view. My question is, what world view do you have? Is it biblical? You can be a Christian, but your worldview can be very secular. Not every Christian behaves like a Christian. You can be a Christian, but your worldview is cut and paste. What is cut and paste? You pick up that which suits you. That which favors you, that sounds good. That is what is attractive to you. Cut and paste. Or you can be a Christian where you embrace what the Bible says. This is a challenge that we are living in today. Allowing this Bible to be the voice of my conscience, of my spirit, of my value, of my marriage, of my life, of my work. To allow this Bible, because we believe one thing. We believe one thing is that this Bible is infallible. This Bible has no error. It cannot err. We believe this Bible, man past, man present, and man future is all in this Bible. And so if we believe the Bible for what it is, then it becomes the foundation of everything we think, we see, we say, and we do. This is where the challenge is. So here is the question. What worldview drives your emotion, decision, and action? Because whatever worldview you have, if it's secular, it is cut and paste, or it's biblical, whatever worldview you have is like a pair of glass, what you wear and what you see. And if this glass, this pair of glass is broken, everything you see is what? Broken. But if this pair of glass is what the Bible sees and what the Bible says, then when you wear this pair of glass, you see it through the eyes of the Word of God, of the Bible. So what worldview drives your emotion, your action, and your decision. Because whatever worldview you have dictates how you see money, how you see everything, how you see life and death, how you see friendship, how you train your children. Do you understand why some Christian parents train their children in such a permissive way? Never mind, let them grow up whatever the way they want. Let them grow up. And forgot what the Bible says. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. And then later on, they wonder, how come my child has gone haywire? What value, what worldview do you perceive, do you hold? This word, WWJD. You know what it means? What would Jesus do? I was talking to a Christian book shop in Perth. It is one of the most stolen product. The bracelet, one of the most stolen product. Then I asked her, what is the second most stolen product in this Christian bookstore? He told me, the Bible. I mean, you are talking about people who may call themselves Christian, but they have a different view. You know, and it's so important for us to realize the Bible is more than a good set of ideas to be taught in the church. The Bible should be our biblical worldview, a way of life. The Bible never distinct between what is a secular life, what is a religious life. The Bible never there. The Bible never compartmentalize your life into boxes. This is your family life. This is your private life. This is your work life. This is your social life. This is the secret life. The Bible never. The Bible simply say that this is what you are. This is who you believe. And your life must follow what the Bible say in every aspect of your life. Whether you are alone, whether you are alone or you are with other people or you are in the church. I want you to know, you want your pastor to treat his wife well, not only when he's in front of you, but when he's at home, he's a monster. You don't want that, would you? Would you? You won't want that. So this is how the Bible tells us that if we believe in Jesus Christ, He becomes our worldview. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And then everything that we want to see the world, we see through His eyes. His eyes. Because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. He came into this world to show us how to live. He lived His life as an example for what? For us to follow. So, we need to embrace biblical worldview. The end of the day, what you believe will dictate how you live. George Barna, he's a researcher of churches. He said that the primary reason that people do not act like Christian is because they do not think like Jesus. Behavior stems from what we think, our attitude, belief, value, and opinion. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I want to make sure everything I do reflects that I'm a what? I'm a Christian. Am I a perfect Christian? No. But I am praying by God's grace. Every day I become more and more like who? Like Jesus. not like any celebrity out there, but like Jesus. So as a Christian, there are six worldviews that is voicing out to you every day. Six worldview. They call it the sixth ism. And they are bombarding at you day and night, shouting for your attention. And you are not to let them squeeze you into that box. You are to be on top of them. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 says, do not let anyone capture or spoil you with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual power of this world rather than from Christ. That this sixth worldview is trying to capture you and make you a prisoner of war. The word spoil and kidnap means to be carried as a prisoner of war. You look at the garden. Eve was in the garden. And God gave her his view. What is his view? His view was simply this. Don't touch it or eat it, you will die. So she has this view from God. And another voice came with another view. Which voice is that? Serpent came with another view. No, you will not die. The day you eat it, your eyes will be open. You will be able to know right and wrong, the knowledge of good and evil. So we enticing work. That's what the Bible says. We enticing work. The serpent convinced Eve to eat of the food. And she became a prisoner of war. In the same way, this sexism is fighting for your attention, voicing at you each day. First of all, it's called atheism. This is belief that there is no God. There are people who believe there is no God. God does not exist. I'm sure you got to talk to people about that before. You know, but you know what the Bible says? Only a fool will say in his heart, there is no God. And thank God we believe in Jesus Christ. We are no fool. Because there was a t-shirt long time ago. I'm not a fool. What is the suggestion? Whose fool are you? Are you a fool for Jesus Christ or you're a fool for the world? A long time ago, there was a t-shirt when I was a teenager, you know. And it's, we need to realize that we believe there is a God. Amen? There's another ism. It's called humanism. This is the belief that said that I am God. I'm God. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 46 verse 9? I am the Lord, only God you have had or ever will have. Incomparable, irreplaceable. This is what the Bible says. God is God. He is irreplaceable. Say amen to that. Now, this is a new term called Christian humanism. It's a new term that has been used. What is Christian humanism? Humanism says, I'm God. Christian humanism is when we as Christians try to explain everything about God. Let me tell you, God is too big for us to explain. There's something called the mystery of God. And we accept the mystery of God as faith. There's something that the Bible is silent about. So we accept it. And when we try to explain, and how do Christian humanism try to explain? They use their what? They use their human thinking and their human reasoning to explain. And when you use this to explain the things that God is silent about, and God do not say, you allow this to run what? Run wild. And that's where your faith will be shipwrecked. Believe this. God is God. Let him be God. And our job is to believe him, even though we cannot explain, we do not know everything. I accepted that God is God. Now, this too is not our problem. What is our problem that is challenging us, that is trying to squeeze us into the box? This problem called materialism. The one with the most toys win. Materialism say this: more, bigger, latest. More is good, bigger is better, latest is the best. Materialism say never enough. You need more and more, bigger and bigger, latest and latest. And materialism tell you, if you have more, bigger and latest, it will make you happy. Is that true? Is that true? Come on, is that true? It's not true. But yet, it's so easy for us as Christians to be caught up with that spirit. One thing about human, we are very, naturally, we are very things orientated. We like nice house, nice things, nice car, nice clothes, nice food. Amen. And Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. He said, this thing dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. The unbelievers are always thinking about all these things. But he said that it should not be so, because our focus must be God. God must be our focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, when you are fighting against this worldview of materialism, which is a form of God, it's a worship of things. When you are fighting against this worldview of materialism that tells you your life here is to get more and more, you got to go back to where? Go back to the Bible. There's a worldview that tells me materialism is what I should pursue. I need to go back to where? The biblical worldview. And what is the biblical worldview? What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 12, verse 15? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possession. In another translation in the Message, take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. So I have this view that is beating me. Hey, I need to work harder. I need to work longer. I need to this, I need to that, so that I can have more and more and more things. So, how do I fight against this view? It's to embrace what the Bible says. It's to be on top of it with what the Bible says. Jesus tells us not to judge or value our life by how much we have God. The greatest thing in life are not things. It's what that will last for eternity. What will last for eternity? Your faith, your hope, and your love for Christ. Another worldview that is fighting us is called individualism. I have got to think of me first. We live in the me first world. Who do I love? I only love one person. Me. How many of you have watched the advertisement called the Me Bang? Actually, it's a very cute advertisement. Actually, when I watch the Me Bang, every time I watch, I laugh. It's really catchy. Because this wanting to think only about me is very common. Is in our fatherness of self-centeredness. You know, it's so easy, because when I think about only me first, in actual fact, affect community and even the church. Marriage get torn up. I don't care how divorce impact my spouse or children. It's all about what? Me. Workplace get destroyed. I don't care how my laziness impact my co-worker. It's all about what? Me. And even church get ruined. Serve me first. Meet my wants first. I don't care what you've done for me before. I only think about now. And if you can't, I'm going what? Church shopping. Individualism leads to consumerism. It's a self-centered, individualistic life that ignores community and other people. But we recognize that every consequence, every worldview has consequences. So is this worldview of individualism. It is humanistic in its core. It is anti-God, against God's value, and against God's kind of life. The Bible says, Christianity says, I what? I decrease, he increase. Christianity says, you know, I die to self that he might live. But individualism is totally contrary to what the Bible teaches. So we have to come to where? We have to come back to the Bible again. What does the Bible say? The Bible answer for individualism is this. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. So, when I'm always fighting with this, me. And the Bible talk about how I need to surrender me. Me need to die. Now I'm in the center. What am I going to do? If I go that way of me, I'm not going to become more Christ-like. Help me realize that. But if I go this way, I'll become more Christ-like. You see, the reason is that we have many opportunities for God to shape our life. It's only whether, which voice do we want to follow? Jesus said, you only begin to live when you give your life away. Significant life does not come from serving yourself. It comes from serving God and others. What a way to live. One day, you're going to pass this earth. What will people remember you for? That fellow is nothing but a selfish. I won't want to use the other word. Or will there be people remember you? That fellow has lived like Christ. What a challenge. What a challenge. Now another worldview that is going to hit you and it hit us very hard in this Western world. It's called hedonism. Do what feels good. This is the belief that the most important thing in life is how you feel. You know, the first thing you need to do is be comfortable and have fun. It is the pursuit of pleasure and the good life. I want to tell you one thing. The Bible did not promise us a good life. The Bible promised us a blessed life. But the blessed life is not like what the world have projected. That blessed life is in the midst of pain and suffering and difficulties. So in this worldview of precious seeking, there's one man in the Bible. He lived to that worldview and it's called what? Who is he? Solomon. No one needs to tell Solomon. He advised himself to pursue a precious seeking lifestyle. This is what he said in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. He said it to himself. He said it so that his heart could listen to what he said. I say to myself, he wrote, come on, let's try pleasure. So enjoy yourself. Look for the good things in life. So Solomon said, hey, I'm not going to live here forever. While I am here, I want to have a good life. And that good life is not living for God, living for eternity. That good life is to have the best I can, enjoy the best I can, have the most pleasure I can. That's how Solomon lived his life. So he said that there are two things that will make you happy. One is called food. How many of you love food? I mean, I like a good meal. When my wife don't cook a good meal, I know. When I know when she put her whole heart in cooking. I know. So food is, so Solomon said, first, food. Said the second thing to find pleasure is laughter. Hey, we do need a good laugh. How many realize that? Laughter is a good medicine. It's a joyful heart, so he said. These are the two things. He said, I'm going to seek food and pleasure. And food and laughter. But at the end, after he have a good meal and a good laugh, at the end, this is what he say. I found that this is too. It was meaningless. He recognized one thing. Food and laughter only meet the body and the soul. It does not meet the need of the spirit. Now, God wants us to have a good time. Say amen. God wants us to experience his pleasure. The Bible tells us in his right hand are pleasure forevermore. There's one thing about being in God's presence, spending time with God's people. You laugh and you eat. But when you leave this place, you are what? You are few. What is it? Because I can pay for a good dinner. Husband and wife. $400? That's a lot of a husband and wife. That's a lot. Maybe less than that. But even how good is the food, I'm not connected to what? To the chef. I can go to hear a comedian crack all kind of joke and give me all kind of laughter. But after the end, it's still empty because I'm not connected to the comedian. But in the church, our sister Ing, you know, she prepared the food there. It may be simple. I know she put her whole heart into it, you know. But one thing for sure, I hear Pastor Kara laughing. Whoa, that is contagious. And I hear other people talking and laughing. By the time I finish the simple food and hear all the laughter, I leave this place, I'm happy. Why? Because I'm connected in the body. I'm connected in the soul, and I'm connected in the spirit, and I'm connected to the body of Christ. That's the kind of pleasure that God wants us to seek. Do you recognize that the devil is against community? The devil stopped community. When the church stopped to be a community, the church stopped being the church. So, what's the Bible answer to a pleasure-seeking world? This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 17. Are you addicted to thrill? What an empty life. This pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. I want to be addicted to only one person. Don't you want to be addicted to only one person? Not your wife, not your husband. Addicted to Jesus Christ. I need him. I need him more than anything. Lastly, this worldview of pluralism, whatever works for you, it doesn't matter if it hurts anyone. As long as it works for you, it is fine. If you feel right, it must be right. If you are happy, it must be right. When you hear and allow this view to dominate you, then let me tell you, your conviction becomes what? Very blur. Do you realize that Christian needs strong conviction of God, strong conviction of right and wrong, strong conviction of sin? When you embrace this worldview in which the world has been pressing the church, come on, you need to be more tolerant. Let me tell you, we need to love sinner, but not their sin. We need to love the drunkard, but not his drunkenness. But when we cannot differentiate, and this is what the world is telling the church, tolerance. You must be tolerant. Be silent, be tolerant. You know, and this type of view eventually creates within you, I don't need to witness about Jesus Christ. I don't need to tell people that they need Christ. Because this view tells us there are more than one way to God. Every road leads to Rome. But we know it's not true right now. We know from Acts chapter 4 verse 12, there is no other name given underneath heaven to mankind except the name of Jesus to be saved. Because when you adopt this worldview, your conviction will become blurred and you will become very torn, you know. And the trouble with this is the teaching of John McDowell said, every single individual belief, value, system, and truth claims are equal. It is not equal. The Bible is above all of them. Say amen to that. It is not equal. It can never be equal. So, what is the answer? This is the Bible answer. The Bible answer says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end, it leads to death. Our ideas may seem right, but the end of our idea leads to death. Only God gives life, physical life, abundant life, everlasting life, and eternal life. So this sixth worldview is trying to press you into the box, but there is only one worldview that is consistent, that never changed, and that is the biblical worldview. It has never changed. It declares that God make us for only one purpose, for His pleasure, for Him. He say, you know, that we exist only for God. And this biblical worldview is 180 degrees different from all other worldview. And Christian, I want you to know, every time this worldview does not sit in the bookshelf waiting for you to take it out and read, you realize that this worldview bombards you when you watch TV, when you watch movie, when you do social media, among your friends, when you talk. All this worldview bombards you. And unless you are strong in this, is what the Bible says. Wonder, we have a second generation that does not know between right and wrong, who is very weak in conviction, because all this worldview has penetrated into Christendom. So let me finish. How do you develop biblical worldview? How many of you want to develop biblical worldview? Come on, how many of you want? There are three keys to develop biblical worldview. First, know the Bible. Only the Bible gives an answer to creation, humanity, sin, death, marriage, other religion, money, scripture, family, salvation, government. Only the Bible tells us what was, what is, and what is to come. Only the Bible talks about heaven and hell. And all this other worldview, only the Bible speaks about it. So you need to know the Bible. Second, is renew the mind. Let Scripture, let the Bible becomes the framework the renewing, changing agent of your thoughts. You can hear what is outside there. Do you allow those things that are outside to change your thinking? Or you allow the Bible to change your thinking? If you hear all this worldview that is outside and you let them eat into your mind and it changed your thinking, then you live your life according to those worldview. But the Bible says that we are God's people. We are different. So we need to allow the Bible, the Word of God, to renew our mind, to reshape our mind, to restore our mind, so that we will think with Scripture, not what I think, what I see, how I feel, but it is rather what the Bible says. I want to tell you, no, all these years in following Jesus, is it easy to follow everything what the Bible say? No, it's not easy. I mean, realize that. That's where you need the grace of God. God help me. I can't, Lord. You ask me to forgive. I find it so hard to forgive. You know, all these people just keep on doing the same old thing. You ask me to give, Lord. I find it so hard to give because I got other things, Lord, that's important to me. You ask me to do that, I can't. So, unless constantly I'm renewing my mind to the Scripture, bring I see, I feel, to I believe. Because when the Scripture renew your mind, your heart will be changed, your attitude will be changed, your action will be changed, and your choice and decision will be changed. And when you do that, you will be changed in your life. Now that I know, I renew, the last most important thing is called what? Apply. James said, do not become the hearer of the word. Become what? The doer of the word. The story of Jesus about the two builders. What's the difference between the two builders? The wise builder heard it, took it to heart, you know, and did something, and it changed him. While the other foolish builder just heard it, and he forgot. Apply what you hear. I want to put application into just five simple words. Five simple words. Whatever he say, do it. Five words. I want you to put into just four simple words. Go and do likewise. Let me just put it into two simple words. Hear, do. So, when all this other worldview bombard against me, I want to know what the Bible say. And I allow the Bible to dictate my decision, my action, and my life. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We want to be on top of the world. Amen? World conqueror. Conquer the world. Let me get a musician to come. I want to sing that song, Here in the House of the Great King. I believe this is the house of a great king. In the midst of us, we have brothers and sisters, you know, children of God who love God, who wants to live for his purpose. I have this confidence that you will not allow all other worldview to dictate your life. You will only allow the biblical worldview, what the Bible say. Why don't we stand up? Maybe this morning after hearing the message, you need to readjust your specs. You need to take off the specs that you've been wearing and put on the spec of what the Bible says. all other worldviews will come to nothing. Only biblical worldview will last to eternity. And I believe God is building a people. COVID-19 has shaken churches, shaken family, shaken Christian. We begin to see what is important. What will last? Perth is, and even Australia is blessed, but many parts of the other of the world are still going through great pain. It brings us back to this, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of our faith, of who we believe. This morning, embrace biblical worldview and overcome the world and be on top of the world. Would you lift your hand and just speak to the Father? Speak to Him and say, Lord, adjust my eyes. Adjust my heart. Holy Spirit, your words is preached. In the midst of your people, Lord, are people who loves you, who desire for you and wants you. Sometimes, Lord, forgive us when we allow the world to carry us away. But today, Lord, we choose you and your ways. And say, Lord, we belong to you and your life is in us. And we embrace your word and ask your words to bring that change into our lives, into our homes. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.